This morning, I am speaking on walking with God. The image of walking is a very interesting one. When you walk, you're making progress. You're going from one place to another. And that is an image applied in Psalm 1 to the life that the believer leads in the sight of God. Every one of us have a walk in this life that manifests either our allegiance to God or our failure to give such allegiance. That image of walking is a very important one for the believer's conduct. The Scripture has a lot to say about that walk. If you'll turn to Psalm 1:1, you will discover that the first requisite concerning walking with God is that the believer chooses not to walk with sinners. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that tells us very plainly the direction and the purpose of the believer. There must be no mistake about it. He chooses not to live his life the way the world lives. And so the world regards believers as odd. They're going in the wrong direction. Everybody else is going this way. Why don't they tag along? Well, the reason is he lives for God, and the world does not. It is very plain that the world is steeped in selfishness, every man for himself. Get all you can all you get. The worldly mottos tell us right away the attitudes that are anti-God. And so the believer does not go that way. It's a very deliberate and determined choice. He turns his back upon the things of the world, and he chooses to live his life in the sight of God. Now, it's significant in verse 1 that the walk is described in three stages here. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. And he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The walk soon becomes identified in place. He's standing with those who are enemies of God. And pretty soon he's sitting down in a seat of authority among them, part of them making decisions with them that are anti-God. So that's a deliberate portrait there of how the life gets more and more involved with the world. It's not something that is an accidental brush. It's something that you sink into like a quicksand. You keep sinking until it's no longer possible to get out. Now, in contrast to that, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Instead of delighting in the way of sinfulness, the way of the world, his delight is in this blessed book. Now, the world doesn't understand that. That's just an ancient book. Who cares what it says? They certainly don't. But the believer finds in this book God. This is the book of God. This is the book that shows him the way, that he may walk in God's direction. It shows him where the pathway is going, and he wants to go there. His delight now is in this blessed book. He reads it not just because it's an assignment that he has to read. He reads it because he loves to read it. And he comes back to it again and again, feasting on what's there because it strengthens his soul. It builds him up in the faith. It enables him to understand the pathway. It quickens his steps toward God. The reading of Scripture, the meditating on Scripture, is a vital part of the Christian life. Any believer who forgets about it is starving himself. This book is the bread of life. Digesting and absorbing what is in this book feeds the soul And we must constantly come back to eat more and more and more. You need 3 square meals a day. You don't think having one that you can just sit back and ignore it for a while. No, you're ready the next time mealtime comes around. Scripturally speaking, we need that same eagerness for God's word. It's not just something that we have to do. It's something we absolutely need. If we do not eat, we die. If we do not feast upon Scripture, we are shriveling our souls. And that's a disaster. In Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, the believer seeks to walk uprightly. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. All right, here is a very distinctive portrait of the conduct of the believer. He walks uprightly, that is, in honor. He walks as a person who keeps his word, as a person who does what is right. The world is not too concerned about that. They might strike an image like that, but walking that way is too difficult. Well, he abides in the tabernacle of the Lord. And so walking in the presence of the Lord is not difficult. The Lord is present. The Lord is watching. When you know someone is watching you, you tend to be careful what you are doing. But for the believer, he knows that God is watching all the time. He is never off duty. He is always in this world a testimony for God, and God is watching. Now, friends, we must recognize that that walk is not something that we just put on, like you'd put on a coat when you go outside. It's you. It is a picture of your life. Your life before the world, the eyes of men, that must be a walk with God. God is part of your life. In everything that happens, He is present, and you are thinking of Him first. It's a very important part of the Christian's testimony. The believer who forgets that is going to stumble. As long as you're thinking that God is here, that God is in full charge, you don't stumble. You have a sure footing. You're walking a good pathway. When you forget that, then you start to stumble. The things are unexpected. The traps snare you. When God is present, they can't snare you. He is our protection. Now, it's important that he learns how to speak the truth in his heart. Sometimes you are pressured by circumstances to kind of hedge on the truth a little bit. But the presence of God is the protection to the believer there. If God is present and He is truth, then we speak the truth because God is listening. For the world, they don't understand that. They'll speak the truth as long as it's profitable. If it gets difficult, why, they start to hedge things. But the believer doesn't have that easy path open to him. He speaks the truth, period, because the God of truth is with him, listening. Once we understand this, that aids the Christian testimony in all directions. You don't have to worry what you say. You don't have to invent what you say. You say the truth because God is listening. In Psalm 23, dropping down to verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The believer is one who can walk through the valley of the shadow of death safely. When the wicked come to that, they're terrified. There is no safety for them. They don't know where they're going. But the believer does know where he's going. He's going to the presence of God. There's no worry about that at all. He has met God. He knows the love of God. He's walking with God. And death cannot terrify him. It is one step into the presence of God. The world doesn't think of it that way. They think that this life is everything. What they have here is really everything for them. And leaving it is a terrifying thought. I have seen people come to the end of their life just paralyzed with fear because they're leaving everything that is comforting, everything that they want. They're going out into the darkness and they don't know anything about God. That's a terrifying spot for a person to be in. And friends, when you know people who are in that condition, share with them that there's a different way of looking at life, a biblical way of recognizing that the God who is merciful here is waiting for his people there. And it's a comforting thought, not a terrifying thought, to meet the Savior. Now, it's interesting that in verse 2, David says, "He leads me beside the still waters." God leads the believer along comforting paths, not the cataracts that would drown him. But God leads to still waters where he may secure the pure water of life and not only be refreshed, but be imparted the eternal life that God pours out upon his beloved. It's a wonderful comfort to know that the shepherd cares. It's always striking for me to remember the scenes that I have had in the Holy Land of shepherds and their flocks. That is a vivid picture, so real. I've seen the shepherds standing around a watering place, three or four of them talking together, and the flocks all feeding, drinking the water. Very serene scene. And they're there until the shepherds are satisfied that all the sheep have gotten their fill of the water, and it's time to move on. And they never make a big deal of it. They just go in four different directions. Each one walks off, and the sheep follow. It's like magic. Everyone knows the right shepherd. And that whole flock all of a sudden is all over here, and each one of the others, each in their place, going off in four different directions. There's not a sheep left behind there. The sheep know the shepherd, and they follow him. Friends, that picture is the exact picture of every one of us if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever he goes, that's where we go. On the pathway that he marks out before us, that's where we travel. That's a very important thing to understand in the Christian life. You are not here in this wicked world alone, just wandering about. You are here following the shepherd who is leading you. As long as you have your eyes on him, are walking with him, you are perfectly safe. He cares for his sheep. He looks after each one. And you can walk behind his leading with serene confidence. He has never lost a sheep. In Psalm 101, David refers to a different type of walk. In Psalm 101, he's speaking about the walk that he has in his own household, the walk that he maintains before his family. And in verse 6 of Psalm 101, he says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." He's thinking about the people that he's going to enlist in his government. Those that are going to be with him to guide the affairs of this country. "He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." He's looking for people who walk with the Lord the way he does, who are there in the fear of God to accomplish God's will. That's what David wanted. Oh, he wasn't a perfect ruler. He had his faults. But he had the intention of serving God. He wanted to please God. And he was a tremendous difference from the willful King Saul that was before him. Saul went in his own direction, no matter what God said. But David walked with God. It's important for us to understand that. In a perfect heart, we haven't made that yet. Our heart is not perfect. It is still faulty. And that's why in the New Testament, the Word speaks of the grace of God. We need to keep drawing on the grace of God, seeking His help, seeking that sustaining grace that will help us to walk in a godly way, to please Him, to be a testimony for Him in this wicked world. David understood that. In the first verse, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. Yes, he had experienced the mercy of God and the judgment of God upon the wicked. And he was singing the praises of God. We need that song in the heart as well, to sing His praises as we walk in this life, confident that He is leading us properly, that He is leading us homeward. Now, it's interesting, in verse 3 of that psalm, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Now, that's a significant thought. Set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What does that say about your TV set? There's an awful lot of wicked things that come through that set. And that means you must be extremely discerning in what you allow into your home. David has settled that in his heart. He's not going to set any wicked thing before his eyes. And that settles the kind of programs that you watch, the kind of even news items that you allow to come into your home. You've got to have a working off button. We're living in a time where the wickedness of the world is on a steady rise, is seeping in everywhere. We must recognize that, take steps to be sure we maintain a Christian home with a real testimony. Now, in our home, there are a great many channels on that TV that are blocked deliberately. But the thing is, even on very good channels that are supposed to be perfectly suited for home consumption, you never know what is going to happen. The world has no Christian standards, and we have to recognize that. Frankly, I never watch the TV set without that clicker in my hand. You have no idea what's coming. It's something that for every one of us, we should have a conscience about it. We don't just let the garbage pour out into our home. We shut it off. There are other things to have in your home besides that one-eyed monster. So we must recognize that we may change in the culture, but the purposes never change. The Christian practice is the same. If something is wicked, it doesn't belong in our home. If something dishonors the Lord and violates His word, that's not something we welcome into our home, something we keep out. The home is a sacred place where children may grow up safely, where the family can walk in the presence of God, and where we're reminded of God. And I've asked the question periodically here, can someone come into your home and not realize that you're a Christian? I hope that is not the case. I hope your home is decorated in a way that manifests what is Christian, that there's a Bible sitting where anybody who happens to drop by could see it. I hope it's a home that is genuinely Christian with the evidence on every hand. That's certainly what we must plan for and work in our homes. In Psalm 119, beginning with verse 1, the psalmist says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. All right. He walks according to Scripture. His life is conformed to what Scripture says. He's not walking just aimlessly. He's not certainly walking in a bad direction. He's seeking to walk according to God's holy word. And in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Wholehearted obedience to God. Wholehearted conformity to what God wants in his way. In verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's the important thing. We don't choose to walk in our way. We choose to walk in God's pathway, pleasing him, honoring him. In verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. It's not a matter of option. It's a matter of command. He says, walk righteously, walk with him. It's one of those things that we can be confident that it is God's will that our life conform to his standards. Dropping down to verse 9, he asks a question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Yes, the answer is, open up the Scriptures, read what is there, find out what is involved in cleansing the way, making the way, the walk in this life, according to God's will, pleasing to him, and a testimony for him in this wicked world. Young and old alike can take advantage of verse 9, cleansing their way by noting what is in Scripture, conforming their practice to what is in this holy book. It's very important for all of us to understand that the Scripture is not just good advice. It is God's direction in walking with him. That is the most important single idea for any Christian. His life is going in the direction of God's word because that is God. God is going that way. The Scripture is showing us how to go that way. And we walk that way in conformity with Scripture because that is walking with God. Now, there's sometimes a mystical attitude about this in some circles where there's kind of an experience that's involved and the experience governs what's going on. Can't find that in the Bible anywhere. The Bible is very clear that it's the Scriptures that give us the directions. It's the Scriptures, not some ecstatic experience or anything else. The Word of God says thus and so, and that's why I'm living thus and so. It's obedience to what is clearly stated in Scripture, commanded, in fact. In Psalm 138, dropping down to verse 7, David expresses one of the contingencies of life. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Yes, God's presence saves the believer. It is not a case that he has to think about his self-defense. God is concerned about his defense, and he walks serenely in the midst of trouble. Now, this world is not a friendly place. There's a lot of trouble here. Many times the believer is in the midst of it, and it's hard to know what to do. Well, in verse 3, he says, in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with the strength in my soul. Yes, if you get into a difficult place on the pathway, ask God for help. Cry to him for help. He is not an absentee Lord. He is present. He is fully able to accomplish his purpose in the midst of anything. Now, in verse 2, notice how he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Yes, he is conscious of all that God is doing day by day, guiding his steps. And he wishes to express his thankfulness and praise to God for all that the Lord is doing. And in particular, the last phrase there, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Paying attention to that word, conforming to the word, walking according to that word, Yes, God magnifies that in Scripture. We must magnify that in our own hearts and minds. In verse 8, the psalmist is sure, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." He's confident that the Lord is going to perfect him and his circumstances and his path. His walk is going to be successful. God is going to attend his steps and see that his walk leads home. It's very important for the believer to understand this. Our journey through this world is not just a pathway through the jungle. It is not a walk in a desert. It is a walk homeward. He has prepared the home. He's waiting for us there. The walk leads to him and to the home that he has prepared. In Psalm 143, verse 8, David prays, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Now that's a prayer again that we can echo. Cause me to know. We need to know the pathway that we may walk appropriately. We must turn to the Scriptures and open this sacred book and fill our souls with the Word of God. That causes us to know that way wherein we should walk. Now, in the New Testament, there are a number of statements that give us guidance and directions in our walk. In Romans 6:4, Paul says, "Walk in newness of life." Now, that's important for us to recognize that we used to live in a certain way, walk in that way, when we were lost, unsaved. But now, having come to the Lord Jesus, having our sins blotted out under the blood, now we walk in newness of life. We don't just draw upon ancient methods of self-control, willpower. No, that none of that will last. We walk in the life that he imparts to us. He gives us his life, a life of grace and strength, a life of blessing and spiritual prosperity. And that new life gives us new energy. We walk not trying to crank it up out of ourselves, but drawing upon him, drinking deep at the springs of life, eating the bread of life, walking with him in this word, and finding that newness of life is everywhere because he is omnipresent. In Galatians 1:16, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart. You do not have to call long distance in order to get help. He is within you, and we can walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Walking in the power of the Spirit. He supplies to the believer that spiritual grace, that inward strength that he needs to live for God in the midst of this wicked world. And we're not doing it by sheer willpower. That's impossible. We're doing it by drawing upon his power. The Spirit of God within can supply to us all the strength we need, all the wisdom we need, all the guidance we need. And we need to walk through the power of the Spirit, not just through determination. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2, the command is given to walk in love. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that manifestation of the love of God. He shows us what true love is. It's not a saccharine thing. It's not just sentimentality. It is instead that actions which we see in Christ himself, where he came to earth to live for us, to die on our behalf, to live so that our lives were going to be forever better. And that kind of love is what we need. It doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. He loves in that way. And we must let His love energize us in this life that we may live for Him and allow His love to flow through us that we might be channels of blessing to others. He can do that. We cannot work it up. In Colossians 1:10, Paul reminds us, walk worthy of the Lord. That is an awesome thought. The Lord is worthy of everything. He is worthy of the highest and the best that is within us. And we must walk worthy of the Lord. The world doesn't think in that category at all. Religion is something they can put on or take off. But that is not the case for the believer in Christ. His religion is his relationship with Christ. And he walks worthy of the Lord because the Lord is watching. The Lord is imparting grace. The Lord is strengthening him to that kind of walk. And so we're thinking of what is worthy of the Lord. The believer must not allow his mind to wander and lose track of the direction that he's going in. Our walk should be very clear. We're going from where we are homeward. Christ is there, and we are going toward Him. And every step we take in this world should be toward Him. We do not wander astray from that idea. We are not going in another direction. We are going in His direction, worthy of the Lord, because His grace is supplying us all the strength that we need to walk for Him. In Colossians 4:5, Paul urges us to walk in wisdom. We desperately need wisdom in this world. We have precious little of it ourselves. The world surrounds us with its snares, its traps, its confusion, its out-and-out lies. Yes, they're all there, and we can easily stumble, easily become ensnared. We must walk in wisdom, not ours. His wisdom, the wisdom that Scripture gives us as we read this hallowed book and see the pathway that the saints have trod in days past and recognize that that pathway is our pathway, that we must walk according to this book in the wisdom of God that He supplies because He is giving us the pathway to Himself. The pathway of the believer leads homeward, leads to the very presence of God. This is what we must recognize. We are walking with God, not aimlessly, but toward God. Every step should bring us closer to God. Every step should make us more aware of the fact that He is our destination, that He is the direction that we are going in, that His place that He has prepared for us is where we are going. And every step we take in this life is one step closer home. Friends, walking with God is the greatest privilege that we could have. It is there for every believer. It requires choices, determined choices. God must be the center, the goal. He is the direction we are going in. We are walking with Him, but we are walking toward Him. And that day will come when we shall stand in His presence. The walk will be over. We will be home, never to wander. We will be with Him forever and ever. And He has planned a glorious future, a future that will never end, in His presence, doing His will, accomplishing His purpose for the universe, an exciting idea. But friends, today our question has to be, am I walking with God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. in this quiet moment? Has there been murmuring in your life about how hard the pathway is and what a struggle this is and so on? If you've been murmuring, will you concentrate your spiritual direction toward God and put yourself into His hands and let Him guide your life into His presence as He wishes to? O Lord, forgive us that we are sometimes wandering sheep. Forgive us that we stray so easily. Bring us back to the path. Help us that we may focus our attention upon Thy holy word and walk with Thee in the midst of this wicked world. Help us every day to have the sense of Thy presence with us, to walk humbly according to Thy word, to draw upon Thy wisdom and Thy courage and Thy strength, that we may walk with Thee every step of the way, confident that Thou art leading us homeward to Thyself. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.